So let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight back to the 24th chapter of Genesis. And I'm thanking the Lord more and more fervently how he's continuing to shine that light upon light and painting this in such vivid and living color for us, praise God. And it's not of us, it's just by his Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. But as we've been rejoicing, praise the Lord, it's all here. This isn't just a story, this is a proposal. These, praise the Lord, are the details of the mystery of Christ. That, praise God, that dispensation given to Brother Paul has opened this up for us in Christ. And praise God, we rejoice him tonight for the better thing that he has given us. Hallelujah. I just again stand amazed at the detail, the intimacy, the pattern, and how perfect it is, brothers and sisters, over and over in the Word of God. It gets more exciting all the time. I'm thankful that the lover of our soul, let me tell you something, he thinks of you. We have been on his heart and mind since ages past. And that's the exciting thing. I'm grateful to God. It is us in Christ. Praise his name. But let's go ahead and pick it up where I believe we'll just start here at the 13th verse, where that servant, again, Eliezer, the typing and shadowing here, the Holy Ghost, as he's looking and waiting and observing these daughters of the men of the city as they come out to draw water. Last week we saw how Rebecca has come out, and he's starstruck. I mean, he has just seen beauty, and it has even taken his speech away, in a sense, and it's even going to get better tonight. But it says there in the 13th verse, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." You think about that appointment. Praise God, all of the appointments we've had, but there's none greater than that appointment, that moment that Christ Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, proposes to you about being my wife. Praise God, as that hits us, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. And it's over and over, it's not a one time, let me tell you something, he's a lover, he woos us all the way along. "And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder." Don't you ever forget that that name Rebekah even means a fat sheep. I love that. Praise God. And the damsel, here we go, "was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher.' And she said, 'Drink, my lord.' And she hasted and let down her pitcher unto her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, 'I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking.' And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." That's pretty incredible. We'll stop there. I don't know if we can get through that much, but we're going to try by God's grace, and we'll see what he has here. But picking it up there in verse 16, it says, "And the damsel was very fair to look upon." And I'm so thankful, and really I stand back in amazement of how the Lord so emphasizes the beauty of his wife. He makes you feel beautiful, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. And you are the most beautiful to him. By God's grace, as we take and allow more and more of his truth and love to come into our lives, how beautiful we become to Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to that. You know, I don't think I've met any movie stars that have come through this place. And I don't know how pretty most of us or handsome maybe we've never felt to people. I don't know. But praise the Lord to the one that means everything. you're beautiful. I pray that you understand that. And let's be clear about how God sees beauty. It says in 1 Samuel 6:17, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." And that's the beauty to God. And I'm thankful where that scripture comes from in 1 Samuel. That was Samuel when God told him that he was going to have a king come out of Jesse's sons. And as all of those different sons walked by him, you know, they all looked choice, they all looked good, they all looked ready, and there wasn't a one of them. And I love how finally he says, "Well, do you have any more?" And that Jesse almost forgot he had a little runt watching some sheep. And that was the one, praise God. It was the heart of that one. It was the heart that was after the very heart of God. And we're thankful that that is the beauty to our Lord and Savior. So we see the similar, how similar this is, that the servant here is to Samuel. The master encourages what to seek in her. And she's ravishing, brothers and sisters. I mean, you talk about how beautiful Christ in you is. It's just incredible. That's the beauty of it all. And as we begin to fall in love with the Lord, how beautiful Christ in you becomes to one another. The beauty of wanting to fellowship, the beauty, the speech, how comely it is as we come together. And I'm thankful we sometimes laugh about how, and there was another couple that came to church here recently, and they seemed to enjoy the meeting and the message, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. But again, just astonished, you know, people don't leave this place after the service. He says, you know, 5 minutes after I used to go to the church where we went, you'd hear the crickets chirping. And it was kind of funny. I said, you know, sometimes we have to run them out of here after a while, you know. And but I'm thankful to the Lord. We love to dwell together. We're settling down in marriage. And sometimes it's hard to part, especially on a Sunday night as the Lord has ramped us through that precious weekend. Like I said, we don't need July to come around to have camp meeting. I'm telling you the truth. We've been greatly blessed, brothers and sisters. And again, it's all because of Jesus. But she ravishes him. Here stands the Shulamite of the Song of Solomon before the servant. I mean, think about the Song of Solomon. I'm sure all of us have studied and read that and rejoiced in it, and how detailed he is in describing her beauty, from her eyes to her neck, to her skin, to her feet. Everything about her is just so beautiful. And here it is again, that type going over and over. And again, the beauty is such that he can't even finish speaking. He's mesmerized by her beauty. But again, just in what he sees, he hasn't seen anything yet how beautiful she is, because grace, as we saw there, begins to cause her to will and to do of the good pleasure of the Lord. That's the beauty. That's when he's really stunned. I mean, he is just in awe of the glory of God pouring forth through her. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe we get that experience, praise the Lord, from one another. We see Christ in us, and Christ in you, and Christ in me, and we see the transformation from glory to glory of the sons of God. I mean, they're getting ready to be manifest. Praise the Lord. They're going to be made known to all that he has loved thee. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'm so grateful to God. I get thrilled about thinking how Jesus loves us. But brothers and sisters, this is even intimate and personal within us. As I've stated to you many times, and I know you understand this because it's Christ in you, you step back and you're in awe and wonder of that person taking over your life. You know that's not you. You know that isn't anybody that you ever thought you were, well, that you know who you were in a sense as a in the flesh, but praise God, we're so thankful that Christ in you. As Brother Paul said, man, I was taken up into that third heaven, and praise God, I glory in that man. And that's the man that we're seeing come forth, praise the Lord. That is the man and the woman of God that, praise his name, is coming forth because he's growing us up in him. But you see, she is prepared, as the word of God says about those vessels, she's prepared afore unto glory. And brothers and sisters, this is us if we will let God have the reins. That's it. Just let God do it. And I'm so thankful to Jesus that when we let him lead us to the well, when we let him will and do of his good pleasure in us, it's amazing how we grow up in the Lord. And I was thinking, as the Lord was bringing us here tonight, we all have this calling. Brothers and sisters, we would not be hearing this message tonight. You would not be hearing this message tonight if it wasn't meant for you. See, his word does not return void, brothers and sisters. And I'm so thankful that we can settle down and say, Lord, I need to pay attention to this because you're speaking to me. And I'm listening, praise God, because you know what? The sheep know your voice. And praise the Lord, I believe that you've drawn me to this well. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost has met me here. And praise God, this is just the very beginning of it all. But what a wonderful fellowship that we have because we're feasting at that living water of life. But here she is, it says in this 16th verse. And this is where it really gets good. And I'm so thanking God for it. But she is a virgin. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm sure everyone or many of those damsels, the daughters of the women, the daughters of the men that came down to draw the water, they were virgins as well. But the point is that this particular one, there's something special that's seen in her. There's a potential to be a chaste virgin unto him. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's start reading some of these wonderful revelations that we see that were brought through Brother Paul, that chosen vessel unto me. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Now this is Brother Paul speaking, and this is so wonderful. The love and the passion that God has put in his heart for ones to run the race, for those to win him. Just as this servant is here at the well, he wants to find that woman. He wants to bring her out. He wants and desires more than anything. I've made an oath here, praise God. We agreed this Godhead that we're going to find a wife for this master son. And hallelujah, think of the passion that's here in Brother Paul. And brothers and sisters, this same passion, by God's grace, should be in us. And I believe it is. We want each other to run well. We want this, praise God, till we all come. I'm thanking Jesus for that because it's a precious body and we are one in him. But here's what Brother Paul says. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now you think he's speaking here to these Corinthians, and we know that these were a squirrely sort. I mean, they were into lots of different things, mainly just about themselves. But praise the Lord, Paul was giving them to preach the whole counsel of God to. And you know what? He wasn't going to withhold. And he wanted to give them everything that the Lord would have him give to them, for them to grow up, to quit being children, to quit being caught up in these things that were just a waste of time, trying to think that I'm going to show you I'm better than you with my gift or whatever nonsense you were getting carried away in. Our fellowship's going to be in the gospel of Christ. We're going to preach the word. We're going to preach sound doctrine. We're going to preach the whole counsel of God. And by his grace, we're going to grow up and grow into him again in all things. But praise the Lord, we see this pattern, brothers and sisters, this servant that was at the well that's ministering to Rebecca. We see here another servant, this brother Paul, preparing this precious wife for the master's son. And I wanted to bring out that word chaste for a moment too. As it said there, to present a chaste virgin. And chaste means blameless or sacred and holy. There's something more here than just a virgin. It's a chaste virgin. And where do we have to go? Well, I hope your heart is leaping because we have to go to Ephesians 5. So let's turn over to Ephesians 5 and let's read about this chaste virgin, this one who is, praise the Lord, blameless and holy, and we're so thankful, a glorious church as we thank the Lord for. But in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and in the 25th verse, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Oh my goodness, sounds like another well. Amen? See, there's the word. It's the well. Praise God. It's not going to be anywhere else where we're going to have this precious fellowship. It's always going to be in the Word of God. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There's your chaste. Praise be to God. And this is that fellowship as it begins there with that precious virgin, but again, to grow up and to be ready, to be the readied wife for my master's son. So again, we see this pattern, here a little, there a little, a proposal, praise the Lord, that's beyond wonderful, brothers and sisters. But then, let's go back to Genesis chapter 24, and we'll go back to our 16th verse. But notice here, after it says, the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, and then it says, neither had any man known her. Well, you would read that, and you said, well, isn't that what virgin means? And it has that intent, but it's even more, brothers and sisters, that no man had known her means to no one even perceived, no one really even saw her. Praise be to God, she was hidden away. That's what that's getting at. She was hidden for him. This was a beautiful one. She was so striking. But again, no one took note of her because she was the Lord's. And see, that's the only way this beauty was really laid up for the master's son. It goes back to verse 14 that there was an appointment for her, brothers and sisters. And I'm so thankful that God saw the heart of this precious one. And again, God sees the heart of those that will go after him. And we're thankful that, again, we're vessels prepared afore unto glory. But she was hidden. And brothers and sisters, you talk about something hidden. See, the prophets wanted to look into this, didn't they? The Word of God tells us that the prophets wanted to look into this. So let's go to some precious verses in the Word of God that, again, just so solidify. And who could imagine, most of these come out of the teachings and out of the encouragement of Brother Paul as the Holy Spirit revealed these things to him. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's talk about and rejoice in this mystery that was hidden. Just like this sweet little Rebecca that was hidden for the master's son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start reading from verse 5. And it says there that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Isn't that something? See, complete, those that are growing up. Yet not wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Isn't that something? Listen to these things. This is amazing. See, you talk about, again, read that verse 7 with me. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Do you see what he wants for us, brothers and sisters? That's why I say, don't be bashful, don't be shy. And a lot of times that's just our self-righteousness. Oh, well, I couldn't go there. Yes, you can go there because he already gave you the provision to go there. Go take it. Praise the Lord. You are the vessel that he wants to bestow all of his glory on and in. Which none, now listen to this, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Boy, I'm thankful that they didn't know it. They went ahead and my precious Lord died. Isn't that wonderful? What a precious promise. But as it is written, verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay, now that would just be great, and we've talked about that, if it just ended there. I mean, I could get excited about that. That's marvelous. But see, this is God we're talking about, and he's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So even though eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things of which God hath prepared for them that love him, it goes right on in verse 10, and it says, but God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How marvelous, how wonderful. It's free. Praise God. And how does this all come? How do we just receive these things that are already ours, that he's given to us? By his Spirit, by that precious servant sitting at the well. Praise be to God. How marvelous to know that it's vital, brothers and sisters, this Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful the Lord's dealing with me even on Sunday about maybe a sermon about the precious need over and over of the Holy Ghost, the infilling. Praise the Lord, that precious opportunity to be led into all truth, the very purpose and plan of God. How wondrously simple, but yea, how incredibly deep. Over and over in the Word of God, we see this promise. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. So we see that there was this mystery again that's been revealed. Let's see what even this precious brother... what God even allowed him to prophesy of. And in the 10th verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So again, these were the prophets. These are, you know, our precious ones in the Old Testament. They were prophesying of these things, of this grace that should come. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. See, the Spirit of Christ was in them. Wasn't that wonderful? When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. So that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. How incredible again. You just see how infinitely we're blessed, praise God, to be at this time, to have this message, to praise God, and again, to be invited and encouraged to be that true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth, in love, the word of his grace, which builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. Praise be to God. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 16. And brothers and sisters, we could go so many other places, but the Lord will encourage us, I think, just in these for tonight, and we'll go from there. But you notice we haven't even gone through half a verse yet. So in Romans 16, let's start reading from verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you. Now there's the power again of his might. There's that Holy Ghost. According to my gospel. Now this is Brother Paul again speaking. See, it's going to establish you. You're going to be established with my gospel. This was the gospel, this mystery of Christ, this precious gospel of the grace and glory doctrine that was given to me. And the preaching of Jesus Christ. According to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So again, here's this mystery, and it was kept secret since the world began. But now is made manifest. Now. And by the scriptures of the prophets, just like we're going back and reading in Genesis 24, as well as it is evidenced all throughout that Old Testament, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So we see it again there. And then maybe the most precious part that I love to read over and over, example of this, and again, this profession of this precious mystery and what it means to us, we must turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's begin reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Praise God. Here we go. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. This was revealed to Paul, brothers and sisters. It hadn't come forth until this message, praise the Lord, was given to Paul, the chosen vessel unto God, to bring forth the mystery of the church, that Christ Jesus will have a bride. And she will come out from the church. She's a rib portion, praise the Lord. This is the company that loves his appearing. This is the company, praise God, that will come out of the heirs of God. But praise the Lord, these are the joint heirs. Praise his name. The ones that grow up into him in all things. So again, these are the joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The ones, as we read in Revelation 3, that Philadelphia church, that praise God, that rules and reigns with him in the midst of the throne, those four living ones in the fourth chapter of Revelation. So we read right there in the fifth verse of that third chapter of Ephesians, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Again, how? By the Spirit. Without the Holy Ghost, this will never happen. The fire will never, the light will never go on. The fire will never burn fervently. It must be by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And again, what is that mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles, here we go, brothers and sisters, this is us, should be. And as you go into that and you find out about Gentiles, which is so precious, even Scofield, if you have a Scofield Bible and you look at that bottom note down there, I was so thankful of the things that the Lord showed this precious brother. Some of the things that he makes note of are so absolutely precious and so true. It says, the note there, that the Gentiles were to be saved. That was no mystery. Do you have that down in your Scofield Bible? See, that the Gentiles were to be saved, that wasn't a mystery. My goodness. The Gentiles were saved in the Old Testament. The ones that wanted to, praise the Lord, that the Lord called. We're grateful to God for Rahab, aren't we? And precious Ruth, and you think about precious Joseph's wife and the different ones. See, we give him praise for that. So this wasn't the mystery that the Gentiles were going to be saved. Come on. This is that the Gentiles, as we go back to the sixth verse, should be fellow heirs. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, there's one Greek word you got to know, and that's synkleronymous. And that is that word which means fellow heirs. Synkleronymous. And that means joint heirs as husband and wife with Christ. Praise God. That's what that means. That's no fabrication. That's exactly what it means. So that's what we should be. That's what's been offered to us. That's what he wants for us to have, that we would grow into that complete, full, intimate knowledge of the truth and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, I think that that kind of encourages us a little bit more in how she was hidden. Amen? You see what I'm saying? She was hidden for him. Praise God. And this mystery was hidden for us. Praise the Lord. But there was an appointment. There was an appointment at a well. And praise be to God, the Holy Ghost was there. And thank you, Jesus, that we're listening to this precious proposal, this same type of proposal that Rebecca here receives in this precious 24th chapter of Genesis. Now, let's go back to that 24th chapter and we'll move on here. You'll notice that there's three things that occur that the grace of God performs in her that this servant observes here in the 16th verse. It says she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And these are very, very important, brothers and sisters. She went down to the well, she filled the pitcher, and came up. See, without all three of these, we will never be really readied for the communion for the journey. It won't happen. Without all three of these, we will never have the strength to truly run the race, is what this means. And first of all, notice that she goes down to the well. Anytime you go to the well, it's going to be down. Praise the Lord. It is. You're going to have to submit. You're going to have to get low to really receive the Word of God. See, the Word of God tells us He gives grace to the humble, doesn't He? See, when we try to approach the Word of God in my intellect, in my mind, because I have great pedigree, because my family came to so-and-so church for all these years, or I went over to this seminary, or I went to this Bible college, and I've got the stamp of approval, let me tell you something. You haven't gone down the well. You've gone down something. It's a hole, but it's kind of dry down there. And I encourage you in the scriptures that it says God gives grace to the humble. You see? That's what He's looking for. There's nothing more beautiful to Him than a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I am so thankful to the Lord how beautiful that is to Him. But as we see, she goes down to the well. So she surrenders of herself. And if you've ever went to a well before and ever tried to draw water from a well, you bend. And the Word of God tells us about a bended knee, obviously, and to bow. Praise God. There's a surrendering. It's an honor. It's a privilege, praise God, truly, to come to a Bible study. I'm so thankful to God. It's for all of us. It's my privilege to come to the Lord's Bible study tonight, because I know that I'm just an emptied vessel by His grace, and He's filling up what He wants to bring forth. So again, brothers and sisters, we are here listening to what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and I praised God tonight. Lord, may it be Thy will that this is a Philadelphia company that is receiving this tonight. Now, as we go on here, you see that now many will go down to the well. It just as we read back in the 13th verse, it says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." So I'm thankful to the Lord that there are many that will draw water. So that was the first one. But the second one is, will they fill their pitcher? You see what I'm saying? See, a lot of people go down and draw water, but you know they got a pitcher, but they're only going to draw that much into the pitcher. But see, when you really draw a full pitcher, it's a load. It's heavy. It becomes a weight, brothers and sisters. It can be a burden. There's suffering is what this is getting at. And that kind of leads you to the third one, which is so precious. So when you do have that weight, boy, do you need added strength, don't you? To come up. Amen. And that's just the place for the Holy Ghost there to encourage us, to enable us. See, that exceeding eternal weight of glory has a price, brothers and sisters. It does. And we're going to, if you're going to reign with Him, if you're going to rule with Him, you're going to suffer together with Him. That's it. You'll never reign with Him if you don't suffer with Him. But praise the Lord how the encouragement of the Spirit will bring you through. See, He'll teach you the things of the Lord. He'll bring those things to your knowledge. He'll make you understand what's in the offering here, how much His love means, how rich it is, how wonderful it is to be in the midst of the throne with Jesus. And you know what? Now you understand there's nothing worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters, that it's not even to be uttered or whatever that this glory that God shall reveal in us. And see, that's the love message, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Ghost gives to us, that causes us to press on. It's the love of God, brothers and sisters, His great love for us, that causes us to endure the hardness as good soldiers. That's why we endure. It's not we're holding out because of self-righteousness. We're not holding out because I just have to. My goodness, brothers and sisters, I go on because He loves me. Amen? He loves me. And I'm so thankful how He loves me. That's the man that fixed those garage doors just to encourage him. He knew the Lord as Savior. And it was funny, after we were done, he asked me what I did. And he was kind of thinking about it, putting his tools away. And he says, "Well, you know what? Can I ask you a question?" Well, then that went about an hour. So, but you see, where the Lord was bringing us in that conversation, brothers and sisters, was it's because of the love of God. It's not because of me. It's amazing how we can get so caught up into our strength, our flesh, what, you know, we're going to do to please God. And it was sweet how the Lord, this man is a dad, and he had a 14-year-old son. And I said, you just love that son no matter, don't you? And he said, yeah. And I said, now how much more your heavenly Father? Because that's your son. Now, as your son realizes, and it was sweet because he was talking about what a sweet son he has. And I said, and I'm not complimenting you, but he's got a sweet dad. And the reason you got a sweet son in a lot of ways and that he's good to you is because he knows his daddy loves him. And I said, it's because you love that son that he wants to please you. And he said, man, I never really thought of it that way. And I said, well, you need to read the Word of God. Because that father is the greatest and the best there ever could be. And it's amazing as we find out about how much he loves us, how much we want to live for God. That's what it is. I'm not afraid. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the awe of how beautiful he is. I stand in awe of how great and incredible my Father is. I weep because how much he loves me. I weep because of the mercy and grace that meets me moment by moment in my life that just breaks my heart to say, Lord, I want to know more of your word because of your love. I mean, again, we were talking about it. I said, we get caught up about these maybe, you know, maybe some people get 70, 80 years to live. I'm talking about forever. Forever. It's eternity, brothers and sisters. And that's a lot longer than 70 years if you think about it. And I'm more concerned by God's grace about that eternity. And I'm thankful to the Lord and the eternity with him and what he's offering to us in his word is just absolutely amazing. But you see, this is the power of his might, that this servant and his message and the gifts that the servant has, and the gifts that the servant has, as we've been reading, is all that the master has, is there for her. And this is the vision of the love, the grace of God that brings the eyes of her understanding to be enlightened to this beloved. And what happens in our lives, brothers and sisters, is there's a fire that takes over. We become passionate for Jesus. We truly become one of those saints if by any means, like it says there in Philippians, if by any means I might attain to that resurrection. That means I don't care how you do it, Lord. Let's just get her done. I'm coming after you. Praise God. However it's going to be, Lord, you have your way. Father, thy will be done. Now, you know that that's not of yourself. But isn't that amazing? It doesn't just sound so similar. It's the life of Jesus Christ in us that says, Father, thy will be done. Though he slay me, will I trust him? All of those things come out. Praise God, just like Brother David. He will perfect that which concerns me. Brother Paul, hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, it's win after win after win as we allow the life of Christ to just be manifest in our life. And that desire becomes insatiable because of his love for us. And see, the Holy Ghost makes it known to us. He makes it real to us. And he makes it our own. It's not seen afar off. I get in there. That's mine. Praise God. I'm not going to be like the sons of the prophets watching Elisha get the double portion. My goodness, I was invited to that. I'm down in there. I want that double portion. Praise the Lord. Why not me? Because he invited me to have it. He wants me to have it. Praise God. The plan, the purpose, the provision, the power is given to us to take that. Praise God. Let's go on. I told you. We got through one verse. Praise God. Okay, verse 17. We'll move along. And the servant, this is so beautiful. Here we go, the Holy Ghost in this type, ran to meet her. I just love it. And said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. So here we go. He's like a heat-seeking missile for his wife. Isn't that amazing? Well, I'll tell you what, as the word says, isn't that brother's said to him, the Spirit said, I've come for thy words. Isn't that something? See, he saw something there. She must have said something in her heart. Boom, he was there. He said, there's opportunity. I'm coming. This one wills to know the will of God, and I'm here to meet it, and we're going to meet it as much as she'll take. And here comes the beginning of the courtship. And notice the very first words that he speaks to her. And these are the most two all-encompassing words in going on with God. Let me. Listen to what he says there. Let me, I pray thee. Isn't that the way it is? Does it ever change? Nope. Let me. Let me. How many times over the years have we heard from this pulpit, let God. Let God. Now I know there's that little slogan, let go, let God. Uh-uh. Don't waste your time letting go. Let God. Let him do it. Let him do it. He'll do it. He's ready to do it. Just let him do it. Don't think you got to do something for him to get something done. Just let him do it. Don't hesitate. Just let God. Isn't it wonderful that we don't need to do a thing? We let him. We let him speak. We let him perform. And even the precious Holy Ghost, he makes the request. Will you wait on that? Will you let him make the request for you? Do you know we don't even know how to pray as we ought? But he's the one that gives us the words, the utterance. I love being absolutely incompetent and insufficient because he's my all-sufficiency. See, he's running to us moment by moment by moment. And I'm thankful to God that he is so passionate about this. And why does he run? Because you know what? There's not much time. And there isn't. This is something that has to be done speedily. I understand it's a lifetime. I understand it's line upon line, precept upon precept. But deciding by God's grace, I will go, needs to be decided. There's not a more convenient time. I was reading about how that today there in Acts, when Paul was dealing with those ones, and he says, you know, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian, or come to me at a more convenient time. There ain't no more convenient time. It's now. He is the God of now. And praise the Lord, she's at the well, and it's now. And he takes those things speedily, just like Esther did. Why did she win the king's heart? Because she took those things speedily. And she needed to, because she didn't grow up into all that stuff. People weren't telling her about that. She was an orphan girl that just kind of showed up. But you know what? She showed up at the right time in the right place. And praise God, she had a heart to say, I'll let you do it. Take only what the Holy Ghost has there for you. He's got it all. Take only that. Let me. See how that pattern over and over in the Word of God, how beautiful this is? If he gave us just one chapter, we would have it all in a sense. But praise the Lord, he loved us so. It's pages and words, and it's so absolutely beyond complete. Now you understand, as we just not even touch this, we're just looking at this in a sense, how this truly is the only thing that will endure forever. It says heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God endureth forever. This is it. This is it in all the ages to come. The Word of God. Praise his name. How the depths, I stand in awe looking into the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, he runs to her, and praise God, he's ready and willing. But again, the question is, are we? See, he wants that water from us. That's the beautiful thing. He wants that water. He says, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. There is an overflowing in this sweet sister. There's a fullness of God that is so present in her life. And the Godhead, it's so precious to them to enjoy that washing of the glory, the washing of the Word of God with her. She has such an affection of the water and for watering. And what a precious testimony this is. She's like the Sea of Galilee. She takes it in. She draws it for herself. But she's also so willing to give it out immediately. She's fruitful. See, she's of age, praise God, to be fruitful. She is a vessel, adding to the usefulness of the husband. That's the definition of vessel. This is why it's so beautiful how she's teeming with life. This is the one that she is. And in verse 18, it says, and she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And then it goes on to say, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. See, she's spectacular. These are the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Do you know when we walk in the before ordained good works that God has given to us, you're spectacular? That he just stands in awe and Just goes, oh my goodness. I don't know what those before ordained good works are going to be, brothers and sisters, but you know what? Those doors will open. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He's already prepared you for that path. But here she was. She was off and going, and she fulfilled the word of God to the T. All the perfect and complete will of God was coming forth, filled with all the fullness of God overflowing in her life. All that glory within, the Holy Ghost was just rejoicing in. And here she is watering the camels. I love that. I just love it. Not only did she give him drink, she's watering those beasts. The beasts that are going to make the trek to the bridegroom. Think about this now. And it's so precious, brothers and sisters, because those camels, again, that's precisely my flesh and your flesh. You got a camel and I got a camel. I got my own and you got your own. And thanks be to God, here this precious sister was. She was watering all of the camels. The only way that we're going to get from that well into the arms of the bridegroom. And she knew that the only way that those unruly beasts were ever going to be tamed, brothers and sisters, the only way your flesh will ever be tamed is by being saturated and replenished with the water from the well. That's it. You know very well when you don't feast upon the word of God, you become weak. The flesh becomes unruly. And the mind of Christ doesn't reign. We get weak. We can get sickly. A lot of different things can happen. But as we feast upon the Word of God, as we sit at the well, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, and we allow the Holy Ghost to minister to us, we become strong. That's why that precious church of Philadelphia says, "Thou hast a little strength." See, isn't that awesome? Praise God. Strength enough, do you think, to let down a pitcher? And then to water some camels? You betcha. That's what God has done for us. But it's so awesome here, brothers and sisters, that these camels, we're going to read on, these camels will take others as well with her. Do you know that? She's not the only one that goes. There's others that'll go with her. We'll talk about those if the Lord tarry when we get to them. But you'll notice here that this watering, it only occurred for those that were going to take the trek back to the bridegroom. She watered only these camels. It doesn't say that she took the pitcher back and was going to water the world. The whole city even. She was watering these camels. Praise the Lord. This is what she was about. She wasn't in there going to baptize all nations. She was out to water camels that were going to go to the bridegroom. Amen. I came to preach the gospel of Christ. And I'm thankful to the Lord that that's the purpose that God had purposed in her heart. And it says there in verse 20, "And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and then ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels." See, this reveals, brothers and sisters, that, you know, this isn't just a one-time event. This is no flash in the pan. She's delirious for the body as much as she is for the head. See, this is preparing all those camels. Brothers and sisters, the bride loves everybody. She does. She has a passion for souls. She wants to, she's as that virtuous woman. She has meat for all the house. She prepares that food by God's grace and is ready to give it out. She is a Sea of Galilee. She doesn't just take it in and it's us four and no more. It's a love. I'm so grateful to God. And I believe people are finding that out. Is that, see, it's not the blood of my natural family. It's the blood of Jesus. This is our family. And the intimacy. And I'm thanking God. I'd love to mention a couple names of some of the ones that have come into the meeting, have been here. And you could see the Lord just wooing them. And my heart hurts because the natural family is starting to disappoint them. And then they say, you know, the best time I ever have, the sweetest fellowship I ever have is here at Living Waters. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thanking the Lord that, you know, we can, again, it doesn't have to just be in these walls, but thank you, Lord, that, you know, it's that like precious faith. And that's our family. And praise the Lord that that fellowship and that bond, that oneness that we have in Christ, it is truly just beyond. But she hastens to water, and then she runs to the well again to get more water. See, again, this is somebody who's delirious. If people would look at her, I'm sure those other damsels were thinking, you know, what a nut. It's late. I'm just here to get the water to bring back to my four and no more. This guy that just showed up, you know, I might give him a glass of water, but I'm not messing with his stinky camels. I'm tired. Not this one. And she didn't mope. She ran. She hasted. And then she ran back. And this is at eventide. And she's got a big pitcher. You know how much water you'd have to draw? You ever thought about this? To water 10 camels? And they came all the way down. Those things can drink gallons and gallons and gallons of water. And she filled the trough. This little beautiful thing. Come on. This is incredible. This is this life that's just spewing. Praise the Lord. With you talk about supernatural power. It's because of the love of Jesus that struck the heart of this woman. She pants. She's delirious. She understands that this is the fuel that's going to enable the journey to be successful. And only the Holy Ghost and allowing the fullness do we ever have the exuberance to press on. See, that's the only way it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. It's got to be with the Holy Ghost. That's the only one that's going to give us the passion. He's the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart. See, that's why tarrying at an altar, going home, and I'm telling you, it's encouragement. It does. It edifies your walk with the Lord, brothers and sisters, as you speak to the Lord in your heavenly language. Those are encouraging times, and we need those times. I need every breath and every word by God's grace. There's an encouragement in that. It's a power. There's a peace, praise the Lord, that he brings to our life in that. But let's go ahead. I appreciate you being patient, but there is so much here, and I pray the Lord's just encouraging you on. It's been an intimate night. There's not many of us here. But it says in the 21st verse, and we'll close with this, and the man wondering at her held his peace. You can see he just wanted to explode right there. You're the one! Like that, you know. And you can see how desiring the Godhead is. That's why I say you think you're anxious to get to heaven. Can you imagine the Holy Ghost dealing with us? And then Jesus sitting there at the right hand of the Father right now. Oh, Father, let me go get her. But God's got that time, doesn't he? The Father knows. This is his plan. Remember the master at the beginning, Abraham to his servant? This is my plan. And we're going to be agreed in this. But I love the excitement. It makes the hair stand up on my head to think, you know, this just isn't a story. This is how it is. If you'll look, allow the Holy Ghost to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. This is going on right now. This is how he sees us. This is the excitement that we, by God's grace, can receive of how the Lord loves us and what he sees. And it is. Courtship is a wonderful time. It's just, using the word like magic, it's surreal. It's an amazing time, that little courtship that you had of the engagement. Oh, this is my fiance. You know, they put their little ring out there, and this type of, the ladies do this, you know, and run their hand around. But it's an exciting time. And this is what it is with Jesus right now. Enjoy it. Praise God. I mean, it's going to be beyond when we get there. And if by grace we wed him, hallelujah, what a time it'll be. But this is the excitement we need to have in the passion going on, that we're as this giddy little one that's running and running and running to water 10 camels. As everybody's just sitting there shaking their head like this, even the Holy Ghost is sitting there going, oh my goodness. My master told me that this is what I would see, but my goodness, she's beautiful. My goodness, she's beautiful. All right. So, the servant's joyous. He's awestruck, beholding the glory that's coming out through her by the grace of God. But notice this, brothers and sisters. He holds his peace. See, we've only just begun. And God willing, amen? God willing. Not that we've apprehended. No. But by the grace of God. See, this is a first impression. And I was thinking, a lot of people start out with a lot of exuberance, but then quickly the flame dies. You've heard it said in one way, shape, or form, if everyone that ever came through this place and heard this message were still here, you know, we'd need the convention center. That's the truth. Only a little handful, brothers and sisters. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. How this is. The word of God is sweet to the mouth, but it's bitter to the stomach. And only by laying hold of grace can the journey be continued. And it's true. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, when we plateau, you don't plateau really. You either go one way or the other. Neutral, you can't be. But when you stop, and I always appreciate that about Brother Hill. I told you about that fishing trip. I said, Grandpa, how are you like that? When he's looking at that stream, and there he was, 93 years old. Chubb, we got to get up there and fish that stream next time. My left ear was still ringing as loud as he said that in my ear. But I looked at his eyes, and I saw about a 7-year-old kid. And I said, Papa, how are you like that? And he said, oh, son, I never felt old. And I thought, okay, well, I could understand that. And then he grabbed me, and he says, son, never stop learning. Never stop learning. And I know, man, that went right through me. Boom. We're never going to stop learning by the grace of God. And you never stop learning if you'll submit to the Holy Ghost. All right? So this is the proposal. But soon will come the sufferings. Soon's going to come the heartache of this sister to say goodbye to the loved ones. Soon's going to come the journey through the desert, the storms, the scorching fire, the long cold nights. Soon she'll say, I will go. But will she follow? Will she receive the grace for grace? Will she know that the suffering together with him isn't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed? The only way that she won't compare it is by submitting to the Spirit of truth and listening on and on and on to the story of truth in love. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.